It's been said that the measure of the Chafetz Chaim's greatness is not so much with his Mishnah Brura, but even more so with his Sefer Chafetz Chaim and Shmiras HaLashon. See, when it came to the Mishnah Brura, the Chafetz Chaim had a lot of raw material to work with. He was working with a Shulchan Aruch, he was working with dozens of Nosei Kelim, and he was gathering them together and putting them together in an organized fashion and in an easy-to-read kind of way so that Baal HaBatim could understand the entire hekif of the poskim and what they have to say about any given halacha. And that's certainly no small task. But there was a lot of raw material to work with. He was working yesh miyesh. He created something from something. When it came to the Sefer Shmiras HaLashon and the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, though, there is no Maseches Lashon Hara. There is no Siman and Shulchan Aruch about Lashon Hara. It was entirely a collection of disparate parts from all over the place, from different Ma'amari Chazal, from different Rishonim, throughout all of Shas. Yes, there's a couple of bottom Maseches Erechin that consistently speaks about Lashon Hara, but that's as close as we have to having real sugyos of Lashon Hara. And yet he managed to pull together all the different Rishonim and all the different Ma'amari Chazal and present to us a Chaticha Aruya L'Skabed, present to us something, a significant something, and it's not fluff, significant material to study in the area of Lashon Hara. Now what's interesting though is although there is no Maseches Lashon Hara, the Torah itself does spend some time on narrative that clearly relates to Lashon Hara, both at the end of Parshas Baaloscha and linking toward the beginning of Parshas Shalach. Certainly the storylines are about Lashon Hara. Miriam Hanaviah speaks Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu, Ala Isha Kushis Asher Lakach, that Moshe Rabbeinu took this Isha Kushis and now he is separating from her. And why is he doing that? God speaks to us also. And because she speaks that Lashon Hara, she gets punished. And then at the beginning of Parshas Shalach again, we're told about the Lashon Hara of the Meraglim, that they speak about Eretz Yisrael. And the juxtaposition is not by accident. Obviously, there's no accidents in the Torah. And Rashi, at the very beginning of Parsha Shlach, writes, Lufi shalaksa Miriam al iske diba, shedibra ba'acheha, v'rishayim halalu ra'u v'lalach l'moser. That Miriam spoke about her brother, and she got punished for it. And these Meraglim saw the punishment that Miriam received, and they didn't take any moser from it. They didn't learn anything from it. They went and repeated the same Avera. And because of that, the Torah juxtaposes the two stories to show us how their sin was so much worse because they had a lesson to learn from. They had somebody to look at as an example to see what happens to the Baal Lashon Hara. But I have one very simple question. How in the world were the Meraglim supposed to learn from Miriam's Lashon Hara? Look back at Miriam's Lashon Hara. What was so terrible about Miriam's Lashon Hara? It seems very clear that what was so terrible is not the fact that she spoke Lashon Hara, but about who she spoke the Lashon Hara. She spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu. She essentially said Moshe Rabbeinu is not any greater than she is, not any greater than Aaron is, that there's nothing that really sets him apart, and that he did the wrong thing, apparently, by separating from his wife. So she spoke Lashon Hara about the Adon HaNaviyah, about the greatest leader in the history of Klal Yisrael, the one who was the human messenger of God to bring us out of Mitzrayim and to be Korei Lanu Asayam and to be Mevi Lanu Asaman and to do all of the amazing things that Moshe Rabbeinu did for us, and obviously not the least of which is bringing down the Torah for us. All the amazing things he did for us in his career as the leader of the Jewish people. So the Meraglim were supposed to say, oh, if Miriam gets punished for speaking Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu, then for sure we shouldn't speak Lashon Hara about rocks, stones, ground. What kind of Kal V'chomer is that? To speak Lashon Hara about things that don't have feelings? About things that aren't chashuv in their own right, it seems? Things that are not even, forget about, not human. They're not even living beings. Speaking Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, about a land, is to be equated with speaking Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu? And if you look carefully at the Musar Shmuz the Ribbono Shel Olam gives Miriam after she speaks her Lashon Hara, it's unbelievable. The Ribbono Shel Olam barely says anything about the fact that she spoke Lashon Hara. What does the Ribbono Shel Olam tell Miriam? He gives her a lesson in Nevuah. And he says, Shimon Advarai, Im Yeh Nevi'achem Hashem B'marei Elav Esvada B'chalom Adaber Bo. You know what? When I speak to you, I speak to you in a dream, I speak to you in a trance. Lochein avdi Moshe. Moshe's nevuah is very different. B'chol beis yineh manhu. he's on a higher level than everybody else. Pe el pe adaber bo. Umare velo v'chidos usmunas Hashem yabit. Umadu lo yireisim ledaber ba'avdi b'moshe. Why aren't you afraid of speaking about him this way? But Moshe Shmuz wasn't about the fact that she spoke Lashon Hara. It was about the fact that she spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu. And do you know what Moshe Rabbeinu is? And if you think about it, the Ribbono Shel Olam was teaching her one of the Yud Gimel Ikari Amunah right here, that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is different qualitatively than the Nevuah of any of the other Nevi'im in our history. It's a little shocking to think about it, because if you think about what Miriam's Taina was, her Taina was really Kfira, what we would define as Kfira. She was saying that Moshe Rabbeinu was not on a higher level than any of the other Nevi'im. And the Ribbono Shel Olam right now lays down this Ikar Emunah and says, no, this is an Ikar Emunah. You must believe this, that Moshe Rabbeinu is on a higher level. But the whole crux of the Ribbono Shel Olam's comments toward her are not really about Lashon Hara. So how are the Meraglim supposed to learn from that? And furthermore, how are we supposed to learn from that? Somehow we're supposed to say, oh, the example the Torah gives of Lashon Hara is Miriam speaking Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu. So because Miriam is not allowed to speak Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm not allowed to speak Lashon Hara about my good-for-nothing neighbor. My neighbor's not a good-for-nothing. He's a wonderful guy. But I'm saying, I'm not allowed to speak Lashon Hara about this moron friend of mine that lives down the block or whatever. What's the connection? Speaking about Moshe Rabbeinu is a much bigger deal. So I saw a beautiful approach to answer this question by Rav Nevensal. Rav Nevensal explains that Miriam's Avera was not in speaking badly about Moshe, but it was in failing to understand that Moshe was different from her and Aaron. In fact, the Medrash tells us that Miriam lo niskavna lignuso shel Moshe. She didn't really mean anything negative about Moshe. And the Medrash says we're supposed to make a kal v'chomer. If Miriam, who didn't mean anything negative, to say anything negative about Moshe, was punished, so we, when we clearly intend negative things about our friends, for sure are going to be punished. But you see, the point is, she wasn't trying to speak badly about him. She wasn't saying he was doing the wrong thing. She was saying, maybe we should do the same. Because after all, we're the same as Moshe. Her Avera was in equating herself with Moshe Rabbeinu. She wondered why only Moshe separated from his wife. Maybe all Levim should separate from their spouses. And the Ribbono Shel Olam's response is that Moshe is not all Nevi'im. He's special, and he's entirely unique in his prophetic abilities. There was nothing malicious about what she said. She just didn't understand that Moshe was in a different league than her and Aaron. After all, he was her little brother. It's hard to look at your little brother that way. Her failure is best expressed not in terms of what she did to Moshe, because at the end of the day, what the Pasuk tells us right in the middle of it, the Pasuk says, V'yish Moshe anav ma'od. He was a tremendously humble person. He wasn't hurt by it at all. He didn't feel insulted. That wasn't what the Avera was. It wasn't that she hurt Moshe. Her Avera was that she failed to recognize that if God chose Moshe to lead the Jewish people, and not Aaron, and not her, and not anybody else, not any of the Zakenim, it wasn't a random choice. Denial or failure to recognize God's choices as anything other than chance is the root of the Avera of Lashon Hara. The idea is the Ribbono Shel Olam chose Moshe, and she denied that idea of Moshe Rabbeinu being the Nivchar Hashem, being the one that was chosen by God. She was saying there was nothing inherently special about him that differentiated him, that distinguished him from all the other Nevi'im. That's the lesson the Meraglim should have taken. It's not about hurting somebody. The land wasn't hurt by the Lashon Hara of the Meraglim. Land doesn't have any feelings. But had the Meraglim taken that lesson, they never would have been able to speak badly about the Ribbono Shel Olam's chosen land. They looked at it and they evaluated a land like any other, completely overlooking the fact that God chose this land and only this land. The Lashon Hara is problematic in the failure to recognize the Ribbono Shel Olam's choice as a valuable and meaningful choice, not in the sense that it hurt anybody's feelings. And this is in fact the lesson for us to take when we speak Lashon Hara as well. The problem is not only that we're hurting somebody. Obviously, it's terrible that we're hurting somebody. And very often we don't even realize how badly people are hurt when we speak about them. But that's not even the root of the Avera. The problem is that we're becoming so cynical that we don't even see the Tzelem Elokim in every person. We don't appreciate that if God chose this person to express a piece of himself and entrust him with the neshama tahora, that this Jew wakes up every morning and says, neshama, elokai neshama shenasata b'tahori, just like we do. And it's just as true about him as it is about us. And he has a tzelem elokim, just like we do. It's not random. It's not pure luck. There's something there that demands respect. And when we fail to show that respect, we may or may not be hurting the victim of our slander, but we're certainly hurting ourselves. We're certainly showing that we can't appreciate Kedusha when we see it. And when the Torah mandates, Rav Nevensal says such a beautiful mashal, it says when the Torah tells us about the death penalty for a murderer, what does the pasuk say? Ki b'tzelem elokim asa es ha'adam. The reason why we kill a murderer is because b'tzelem elokim asa es ha'adam. That man was created in the image of God. So simple pshat is, Reuven kills Shimon. Why does Reuven deserve to die? Because Shimon was created in the image of God. So Reuven has killed the image of God. Rav Nevensal says there's a deeper pshat, there's another pshat. He says, after all, think about it. If the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't want Shimon to die, would Shimon have died? Well, certainly, if I take a gun and I want to shoot somebody, but the Ribbono Shel Olam is not Gozer Min HaShamayim, that person should die. This happens to be a big debate hashkafically, but Rav Nevensal assumes the Davar Pashut, if the Ribbono Shel Olam hadn't decreed that that person should die, my Bechira Chavshis can't make that person die. My Bechira Chavshis can shoot a gun at him, but I would miss if the Ribbono Shel Olam hadn't been Gozer that that person should die. So at the end of the day, did I really hurt the person? Did I really do anything to him? Is it because I destroyed his Tzelem Elokim? He would have walked off a bridge somewhere. His Tzelem Elokim would have been destroyed anyway. The Ribbono Shel Olam was Gozer Min HaShamayim. I was in the Red Shul last week. Rabbi Feitman said that he heard from his Rebbe, Rav Huttner. He used to always say the expression that Ruba de Ruba, the Eibish to fear the Welt. Which means, you know, a Pirov, the Ribbono Shel Olam runs the world. It was a Melitz, obviously. He was joking, because obviously it's apikorsis to say that the Ribbono Shel Olam only al Pirov. But he said, you know, that's like people's attitudes. That, yeah, I get to choose for myself a certain segment of life, and I get to run the world a certain bit, and the Ribbono Shel Olam has most of the say. No, the Ribbono Shel Olam has the complete say in everything that goes on here. So when I kill somebody, if, God forbid, someone kills somebody else, so the victim was not going to die anyway. If I went to kill him, no, the Ribbono Shel Olam was Gozer, he was going to die anyway. So what's the Ki b'tzelem elokim asa es ha'adam? It says from Nevensal, because the murderer himself was created in the image of God. And by committing that crime, he has so sullied that tzelem elokim that it's gotten to the point that he deserves to die. His tzelem elokim is not recognizable anymore. And it can't continue to exist as such. And the same can be said for the Baal Lashon Hara, just like we say about the murderer. Why is he chayiv misa? Ki b'tzelem elokim asa es ha'adam. He doesn't even realize he's the victim of his own crime. Of course, the murder victim is the victim also. But that was nigzar min hashamayim. What was not nigzar min hashamayim was that he, the murderer, was going to do this avera. He turns out to be the biggest victim of his own crime because he's destroyed his tzelem elokim. So Rav Nevensal says the same is true for the Baal Lashon Hara. The real victim of the crime is the one who speaks the Lashon Hara, becoming a more spiteful, cynical person with each juicy piece of gossip that he feels the need to share with somebody else. And if you think about it, even socially he becomes a victim. Because as much as people laugh and seem like they're enjoying his Gild Lashon Hara, in the back of their minds, as they're hearing it, they're saying, "Ooh, I know I can't trust this guy. I better not confide in this fellow over here. Because he'll turn around and he'll get a laugh out of it somewhere else. And he won't be able to develop relationships. And he becomes the victim of his own speech." And that can help us, from Nevensal points out, understand the punishments of so many of the greatest Nevi'im for speaking Lashon Hara. Moshe Rabbeinu spoke Lashon Hara once about Klal Yisrael, V'heim lo yaminu li. He tells the Ribbono Shel Olam, what am I going to do? I'm going to tell them, I'm going to take them out of Mitzrayim, they're never going to believe me. Eliyahu Hanavi says, "Azvu brischa b'nei Yisrael." The b'nei Yisrael have abandoned your covenant, God. Yeshayahu Hanavi says, "Besoch am t'meis v'sayim ani yoshev." I'm living amongst people of impure lips. Speaking, of course, about Klal Yisrael. But wait a second. Why were they punished for those bits of Lashon Hara? Were they convincing anybody that Klal Yisrael was bad? No, there was no Shemaya. They were talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam is not going to be swayed by their arguments. He's not going to be convinced to look askance at Klal Yisrael because Moshe Rabbeinu and Eliyahu Hanavi and Yeshayahu Hanavi tell him to. They spoke to God. His opinions aren't swayed by their arguments. The victims of Lashon Hara were totally unharmed. Yet, these people get punished because of Lashon Hara. Why? Not because of the damage done to the intended target, but because of the negative effect on the perpetrator himself. See, Chazal have a tendency to speak in very strong terms about many, many Isurim. Certain Isurim Chazal equate with murder, like embarrassing other people. Other Isurim Chazal equate with Avodah Zarah, like the Aver of arrogance, Kalam Mizgo'eh. But there isn't a single Isur in the Torah that Chazal are as emphatic about the severity of the Isur as they are about Lashon Hara. Including what Chazal say about Lashon Hara is that Ki'ilu Kafar Be'ikr, that it's as if you deny God's existence. Magdil Avonos Ad L'Shamayim, your sins are piled up all the way to the heavens. Roy Lusoklo, person deserves skila. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Einu Yachol Lodarimo Ba'olam, God can't live with him in the same world. Nigayim Ba'im Alav, he's going to suffer plagues. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Sar Shal Gehenim Bovini Dono So Yachtav. God says to the devil, to the Satan, come, let's judge this person together. Ani Alav Milamala V'Vata Alav Milamata. We'll sandwich him. I'll get him from above, you get him from beneath, from below. And we'll crush him that way. And perhaps most poignant of all, and strongest of all the Lashonos Chazal use about Lashon Hara, is the Medrash that says that Lashon Hara, whereas the Gemara says Lashon Hara is equal to the three Yaharig Vali Avra Averos, the Medrash goes even further and says, Kashel Lashon Hara, Mishalosh Averos Halalu. That Lashon Hara is even worse than Avodah Zarah, Gila Rai, Shlichus Dam, all wrapped into one. So we have to think to ourselves, here we have this Avera that Chazal were very emphatic about. The Torah spends very many psukim about it. And even though we don't have a Maseches Lashon Hara, the Chafetz Chaim points out to us through his Svarim that Chazal did not ignore this Avera. Very critical. It's so critical to our own well-being. It's so critical to the proper functioning of a Jewish society where people care about each other, where people are there for each other, and where there's a sense of unity, a sense of achdus, a sense of kish echad b'lev echad. And now we think back and we say, wait a second. How many shailas do we ask about Lashon Hara? You know, we're makbid about kashrus. So we ask lots of shailas about kashrus. Shabbos, lots of shailas. Taras HaMishpacha, Baruch Hashem, from community, lots of shailas about Taras HaMishpacha. And if we don't ask shailas about all these things, we at least consult a Mishnah Berurah or Shulchan Aruch. When we think about speaking Lashon Hara, so we immediately say, three people know. I know that's a heter. It's okay, I could say it. Or worse yet, we don't even get that far. We don't even think about it. From Jews. Makbid and Halacha. We're makbid about all the other things that Chazal say. It's ki'ilu kafar be'ikra and ki'ilu avir avodah zarah. But this, which Chazal say, is worse than all of it. We don't even think twice. You know, I did something a couple of days ago. I took out a Yad Moshe off the shelf. And I looked at how many shailas in all of the volumes of Igros Moshe Rav Moshe got about circumstances where it's permissible to speak Lashon Hara. Maybe four or five shailas. A shaila about whether a Rebbe can force a child to rat out his friends for doing something if he doesn't know who did it. He doesn't know who did something bad in the classroom. Is it appropriate chinuch? Rav Moshe is very much against it, by the way. Shailas about Shiduchim, is it a Lashon Hara issue if you share information about Shiduchim? Yeah, so the Shailas are asked in the situations where it's likely not really a problem. But all those cases where it is a problem, is there an Avera that's more violated and that's less asked about? Yeah, there are a lot of programs, Shmir Salashon programs, it's wonderful, great programs. But are we really familiar with the Halachos? Do we care enough to familiarize ourselves with the Halachos? Do we care enough to at least be cautious until we familiarize ourselves with the halachos? These are difficult questions. We have to ask ourselves these questions. And when we ask ourselves these questions, and we start being a little bit more careful about what we say, and we learn the lesson of the Meraglim, and we learn the lesson of Miriam, and we're able to look at Kedusha, we're able to look at the Neshama Tahora that's in every other Jew, the Tselem Elokim that's in every other Jew, and we're able to appreciate Kedusha for what it is, we're able to understand what Kedusha really is, then we will have finally learned the lesson of Miriam and the Meraglim, and we'll be zoche to what the Meraglim, through the Lashon Hara, kept us out of for so many more years. We'll be zoche to the Geula with Eretz Yisrael, where we'll be able to appreciate Kedusha at its fullest, with the Beis HaMikdash at its center, and with all the Jews, all the holy Jews, living right around it, and worshipping in it, so that we can appreciate the Hashras HaShechina, which of course is the ultimate sense of Kedusha.